This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin Edition, presented by Brandon Legal Group. Brandon Legal Group is a huge supporter of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. Everyone at Todd Wright Tour 17, the most recent Todd Wright Tour golf tournament at West Chase Golf Club, received a Todd Wright Tour shirt, courtesy of Brandon Legal Group. And Brandon Legal Group wants to do even more for my next event coming up at the Eagles Golf Club, Good versus Evil Part 3. On Super Bowl Saturday. Huge supporters of the Todd Wright Tour, and they are a full-service law firm. So that answers your question of, well, I have this issue, can't... Full service. You do not need to ask that question when it comes to Brandon Legal Group. Just call them for a free consult, and let me also assure you that you don't need to have your legal issue originate work-wise, road-wise, home-wise, or otherwise in Brandon, Florida. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME. Brandon Legal Group, full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. I'm proud to have them as a supporter of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. Again, if you want to be on the pre-sale list, if you will, and get a heads up when we put Good versus Evil Part 3 on sale for the Eagles Golf Club on Super Bowl Saturday, just email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. The tournament is not on sale just yet. I'll worry about putting it on sale after we get through the Thanksgiving holiday. In advance, I don't want to quite be Chris Berman here, not that there's really anything wrong with Chris Berman. Here's all I can tell all of you about my interaction with Chris Berman and even doing some radio with him over the years. Once Chris Berman meets you, he never forgets your face. He never forgets your name. I wish I was someone like that. I'm sure some of you know people like that. They always remember the face and the name. Even people compliment me on my memory. I don't. Not like that. I always respected that about Chris. Sure doesn't seem like ESPN is any better without him, even though he does make some appearances. I guess it's on the, is it on the Monday Night Countdown show? No matter what. I just want to say happy Thanksgiving. That's all. I have a lot of things to be thankful for, and I do enjoy the side dishes. So, not going to get soft on you guys, but happy Thanksgiving. Remember, you have three games on Thanksgiving. Most of you know early game Detroit, afternoon game Dallas, the evening game, which is tough to stay up for depending on how much you ate or drank. Saints-Falcons. Falcons presumably playing out the string. Maybe for Dan Quinn, too, 2 years after going to the Super Bowl. Granted, they blew the Super Bowl 28-3, and Kyle Shanahan has moved on as well. But maybe. But the Saints are fun to watch, especially from a fantasy football standpoint. So those are your Thanksgiving Day games. That affects fantasy football this week. In this edition of the Bucks Bulletin, very quickly on Bucks Niners, two teams playing out the string. This is a game where I wouldn't get too cute. Really the only people in consideration. Now, granted, this is also a week where some of the biggest players in fantasy football have Thanksgiving off. After that arena football / pinball game on Monday night between the Rams and Chiefs. Rams and Chiefs have Thanksgiving off, not just Thanksgiving Day. They don't play this week. So if you are an owner of Goff, you don't have him. Mahomes, you don't have him. Kareem Hunt, don't have him. Todd Gurley, wondering what happened last night. Don't have him. Robert Woods, don't have him. Tyreek Hill, you don't have him. Travis Kelce, you don't have him. Some pretty big names. So you are looking for other options. I would imagine in most cases you have someone on your bench. I don't think Bucks Niners is where you're going to find the best option to replace those guys. Maybe with the exception of in the outdated mandatory tight end leagues, which you need to get out of next year. And if your commissioner insists, no, we always play a tight end, then just take a vote and fire your commissioner. Make tight end a flex position of wide receiver slash tight end. No running back, wide receiver slash tight end. That means you can play a tight end if you want, and if you feel you can't get one or you don't want to deal with it, you don't have to. This is the modern way to play fantasy football. Get with it. But in mandatory tight end leagues, if you have Kelce and you don't have a backup tight end, this game could potentially feature two plays. One will depend on O.J. Howard's injury status, so check that as the week goes on. The other is definitely George Kittle. Kittle is a consistent producer for the San Francisco 49ers in an otherwise lost season, and Nick Mullins knows that. The only other Niner to consider would be Matt Breida. Many of you have owned Matt Breida for quite a while and have used him in various spots. I wouldn't see why you wouldn't want to use him if you don't have Kareem Hunt or Todd Gurley this week against the Bucs defense. Neither of the defenses in this game are very good, so there should be fantasy points out there. Breida should get some of them. Nick Mullins might be an interesting play, especially in DFS or two quarterback leagues. I don't know if you take the leap of faith and plug and play him in a QB1 league. Even if you lose Goff or you lose Mahomes this week, you probably have a better option. Nevertheless, I'm in the podcast. My foundation league is a two quarterback league. Even during his bye week, I picked up Nick Mullins, knowing he'd go up against the Bucs this week. And I am considering finding a spot for him to play in my two quarterback lineup this week against the Bucs defense. Those are really the only Niners worth consideration. On the Buccaneers side, we now know Jameis Winston will start at quarterback. Chances are good Winston will put up fantasy numbers that are worthwhile. Again, if you were losing Goff or Mahomes and you don't have any option on the bench or you don't like your option on the bench and Winston is available, I can understand a plug and play of Winston at the quarterback position. I wouldn't chase points with Peyton Barber this week. As I said back in August, which someone on a message board challenged, I don't understand what he's saying about Peyton Barber. How come he doesn't have the look of a guy who can do it all season? Because I can look at football accurately and you can't. That's why. Barber bubbles up here or there, but he's not an RB1. You don't want him in your lineup if you don't have to have him in your lineup, and I wouldn't want him in my lineup this week, especially after last week since Barber doesn't put games together in succession. Mike Evans, after not making much of his targets in recent games, did perform very well, and it helped. He fell on a Jameis Winston fumble in the end zone for 6 bonus points. In the game against the Giants, Evans will likely draw Richard Sherman. That's the one caution here. That Richard Sherman. If, in case you forgot, that Richard Sherman still plays for the San Francisco 49ers. I wouldn't sit Mike Evans, but I'd just lower your expectations. Now, granted, Odell Beckham Jr. Was still able to succeed against Sherman a couple weeks ago in a really bad Monday night game between the Giants and Niners. To say Sherman isn't what he was is probably accurate. To say Sherman isn't good is inaccurate. And so Mike Evans will likely see a lot of that matchup. Other than O.J. Howard status, I mean, I get if you're playing DeSean Jackson as a flex play, I just think he obviously goes down in value when Jameis Winston is under center. We've seen it for 2 seasons now. And Adam Humphries, Jameis is going to look for Adam Humphries, but I think he's more of a DFS play, or if you're a drop-dead, desperate DDD in your season-long league for a plug-and-play wide receiver, I guess he's in the mix, but I would also be looking elsewhere. in other games this weekend. So don't get too cute about Bucks and Niners, but those are the fantasy thoughts for Bucks Niners. I just realized also last night, one of my longtime friends who, and it takes a lot to be a longtime friend of mine and put up with my shit. We were waiting in line for a movie premiere last night. We actually didn't even get into. We got turned away. The theater was full. So it's like, oh, okay. You know, we didn't pay. We were invited for free on a pass, so they can't accommodate everybody. So they did the best they could, and then we went out and we watched the Monday night game. So it's nobody's fault. We were trying to see Creed 2. Because I guess they don't want to call these movies, what, Rocky 10? Although, would it really matter at this point? So my friend who's in my foundation league, and we're both tied for first place, going for the first round buys. He's a he doesn't spend his money on a lot. He's very smart with his money, and he spends his money on vacations, his bills. He saves money, and he buys really, really nice Buccaneer club seat season tickets. That's what he spends his money on. That's it. He works very hard, and he's single guy like me. And as we were talking last night, so I said, you going to the Niners game on Sunday? He goes, oh, yeah. So he'll go to the Niners game. He'll enjoy the concession credit that the Bucks give him, which is actually smarter than you think. And then we both sort of were talking about the rest of the schedule. And he realized, just as I realized, the Bucks still have four home games left. Four. Three in a row coming up starting this Sunday. Yippee. Right? Niners, Saints, Panthers. Not in that order. I think it goes Niners, Panthers, Saints, and then they host the Falcons. Ooh, who goes to that? On the last Sunday of the season. Forget 1 o'clock. Play that game at 5 a.m. just to get it over with. So I feel for him, as I feel for a lot of you, that spend your entertainment dollar on a season ticket package, because let me break it down for you. Here's what you bought this year. Of the 10 games, the Eagles home opener was worth it. You had the defending Super Bowl champions coming in off a win in their home opener the previous Thursday night. Right? Bucks home opener. Bucks off a win at the Saints. First play, Fitzpatrick deep to DeSean Jackson. Bucks end up winning the game. Yeah, that ticket was worth it in your season ticket package. Okay, that's one. The next Monday was one of the more anticipated Buccaneer home games, both locally and nationally, in a long time. Bucks Steelers. That's where the wheels started to fall off. Fitzpatrick had a lot of garbage time scores, and ultimately the Bucs did come up short. That's where the Steelers started turning around their season as well. But still, the game was worth it. It was worth having that ticket. The Cleveland game. Bucs are coming off a firing of Mike Smith. And they start Jameis Winston in the game. They play defense for about a half. It's like, oh, see, firing Mike Smith. Yeah, see, it was a good idea. Yeah, what happened since? Cleveland rallies. Bucks end up winning in OT only because their kicker missed an extra point and a field goal at the end of regulation that put them in overtime, only to have their field goal kicker then make an insanely long field goal, only one he made all year before being cut, to win the game. I actually said after that game the Bucks would have been justified cutting Catanzaro after making a 59-yard overtime game winner. They should have. It just prolonged the inevitable. But the Cleveland game, I guess, was worth it. But it was a horrible game to watch, wasn't it? But let's just say it was competitive. It was against the Browns. Browns came, so we'll count that one. All right, so that's three. Anybody want to give me another game of your season ticket package worth having? Unless you have friends who are Redskins fans and you were able to accommodate them a couple weeks ago in a lousy football game with the Redskins, widely perceived before Alex Smith had the horrible injury, as the worst division leader in football. So there's that game. The four remaining games, half the regular season is still to be played, and the Bucs are irrelevant. And then the two preseason games. So for your 10-game season ticket package, I make the case maybe three games were worth it, more like two. That's what you paid for. So don't be the same people paying for that and then trying to point out, well, they have one of the top offenses, and, well, you know, Jason Light did discover Ali Marpet, and, well, you know, Jameis Winston is only 24 years old, and, you know, we don't want him to become the next Steve Young somewhere else. Stop. Stop. You're living in denial. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin Edition, presented by Brandon Legal Group, 844-4BLG4ME, 844-4BLG4ME. You can also reach out to me with any of your fantasy football questions at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Happy Thanksgiving.